Greetings to all of you. I want to welcome all of us at Center Street Church, those of us here at Center Campus, as well as those joining us from our campus in Bearspaw, Bridgeland, Airdrie, and South Calgary. And I also want to welcome those who are joining us online. We started our study in Exodus last July, and we have walked through this book for over a year now, and today I want to bring everything to a close as we complete our study of the book of Exodus. I want you to know that all the sermons in Exodus are available in audio format through our bookstore here at Center Campus, and it'll be ready in a couple of weeks. So it's a great resource, especially when you're driving. You know, it's an opportunity for you to be encouraged in your faith, and you can listen to the sermons in your car. And if you have trouble sleeping at night, it works really well too. The one person who has been at the center of this book is Moses. God brought Moses into this world with a destiny in mind. At the time when Pharaoh had issued an edict that all the Hebrew baby boys need to be put to death, Moses' parents, by faith, saved his life. They sent baby Moses down the Nile River on a papyrus basket, and they entrusted Moses in the hands of God, not knowing the outcome. Will the baby drown in the river? Will it be eaten by the Nile crocodiles? Will they ever see him again? Not knowing how everything will pan out, by faith, trusting in the faithfulness of God, they let their baby go. God intervened in a miraculous way, and the rest is history. The Bible says some incredible things about Moses. I don't know of any other person who receives such acclamation from God like Moses did in the Bible. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 says, "Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth." Deuteronomy chapter 34 gives us a summary statement of Moses' life and the kind of impact that he had in verses 10 to 12. "Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." Now, these are remarkable things that are being stated here about Moses. And what a journey of transformation from where we see Moses in the beginning of the book of Exodus to where he is as we come to the end of the book. Moses had been unrecognizably transformed. That is supposed to be our spiritual journey as well. We cannot remain the same. God brings deep change inside of us. Spiritual formation is core and central to our Christian lives. Transformation is a must. But the question is, how does God transform our lives? We are going to use the life of Moses as a template to glean some lessons for our lives on how God brings transformation. Our text for today is taken from Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 to 35. And if you're physically able, I'll ask you to stand as we honor the reading of God's word. "When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commandments the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, your word says, those who look to you are radiant, their faces are never covered with shame. We thank you for the life of Moses, the incredible transformation that you brought in him. And it is our heart's desire, Lord, to experience that deep transformation ourselves, that we will be shaped and molded, that we will radiate your glory, that our lives, O Lord, will bring you great honor as we surrender to your plans and your purposes for us. So now, would you speak to us, personalize this message for us, challenge us, that our walk with you will be deeply impacted. So we commit this time to you, and we pray this in the powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Moses had an encounter with God on the mountain. Last weekend, we talked about Moses having a glimpse of God, seeing a residue of God's glory. God places Moses between the crevice of a rock. He covers Moses by his hands. He removes his hand at the right moment as God passes by. And Moses sees the back of God. It's like the exhaust left behind by a jet plane. The encounter with God was so profound that Moses' face was radiant. It's an afterglow from being in God's presence. And when Moses came down from the mountain, the people knew that he had an audience with God. It causes almost a frightful reaction. So much so, Moses had to cover his face with a veil. You know, just like the veil in the tabernacle separated the people from the glory of God, in the same way, the veil that Moses wore to cover his face separated him from the people. And Moses' deep communion with God had left an imprint upon his life. And it was so evident to those who were around him. See, that is the power of God to transform a human life. Our entire countenance is changed as a result of our encounter with the living God. Now, how does that kind of deep transformation happen? What brings about that visible change in a person's life? The best definition of spiritual formation is by Dr. Robert Mulholland, who states, spiritual formation is a process of being formed in the image of Christ for the sake of others. Spiritual formation is a process of being formed in the image of Christ for the sake of others. Transformation and spiritual formation is a process. Oh, how we love instant change in a person's life. I love it when that happens. You're into drugs or addicted to porn. You encounter God. He breaks the addictions. He snaps you out of it. And God can bring that kind of a change in a person's life in a second. He's well able to do that. But we also know that being formed in the image of Christ is a process. It takes a lifetime. You can't hurry it. There are no instant formulas to make you more like Jesus. If you sit by a vending machine all day and watch the people who stop by it, you can see some serious drama, especially if it's a machine that doesn't work. Here's what the vending machine is designed to do. You select what you want, you put the money in the slot, you push the button, and out comes the product that you want. But when that does not happen, when the machine doesn't work, watch the drama that unfolds. It's free entertainment. When people put money and don't get what they want, the vending machine is subjected to some serious abuse. People scream, pound, kick, wrestle, break that machine altogether when they don't get what they want. All of our sinful tendencies seem to take over, and that poor machine receives the brunt of all of that. Sometimes we do the same with God. We think in our minds, if we follow this formula, we will get the desired output. That if we do it the certain way, follow the steps, then transformation will happen as a result. And we get mad when it doesn't work out that way. But remember, transformation is not always instantaneous. There are no formulas. Moses did not become that kind of a man with a radiant face, authenticated by God overnight. We read the book of Exodus and we see that this is a long, painstaking process of God at work, slowly shaping and molding Moses to be the person that God wanted him to be. God wants you to become more like Jesus by leading you through a process that lasts a lifetime. And using the life of Moses as a template, I want to share with you three things of how this transformation takes place in our lives. First of all, transformation happens when God redeems our detours. When God redeems our detours. Moses' life was preserved in a miraculous way as a baby. In God's providence, the baby on a papyrus basket floating down the Nile is rescued by Pharaoh's daughter. Moses ended up being raised in the palace of Pharaoh himself, from a slave in Goshen to entering the palace of Pharaoh. In the book of Acts, Stephen talks about Moses, and he gives us some interesting details which we don't see in the book of Exodus. So these are additional information we can glean. Now look at Acts chapter 7, verses 22 to 29, where Stephen says, Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian. So he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. Now, we glean a lot of additional information here to understand what happened in Exodus. One act of unbridled rage, and Moses blew it. From the palace, being raised in luxury, a man powerful in speech and action, some say possibly the next Pharaoh, seen as his replacement. All of this comes crashing down in a moment. And Moses ended up in the desert of Midian. From the palace to being a Bedouin nomad and nobody. Talk about detours. Talk about being on the penalty box. For how long? 40 years. That's an awfully long time. This past week, I celebrated my 40th birthday, so I know what 40 feels like. years of looking after sheep. 40 years of working for his father-in-law. 40 years of being anonymous and a nobody. Think about it. Moses would have concluded in his mind, that's it. It's all over. Nothing much will come out of my life. Nothing of significance. He totally lost all hopes. But in those moments, God was at work, transforming Moses, shaping his character, working deep inside his heart. And why do you think Moses was the most humble person in the face of the earth? Remember, Stephen says Moses was powerful in speech and action. And how easy for such a person to become proud. Now, how easy it is for such a person to say, I can deliver the Israelites, that's no big deal. I can take them to the promised land, I am capable. See, that was Moses at age 40. Strong, capable, self-reliant, ready for the challenge in his own eyes, but far from ready in the eyes of God. And God emptied any element of pride or self-sufficiency in Moses during those 40 years in the desert. And Moses became humble and dependent, character qualities that are indispensable to spiritual leadership. And when Moses thought, nothing of significance is going to come out of my life, that's when he had the burning bush experience. These famous words in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. You need to know Moses had not read Exodus chapter 3. He didn't know what we know. He merely goes to check on a bush that would not stop burning. And there Moses encountered God unexpectedly. He heard the voice of God distinct and clear, calling him by name, Moses. Moses. And what do you think went in his mind when he heard his name being called. I bet the first thought that came to Moses' mind was, God has not forgotten me. I can't believe 40 years later, he still remembers me by name. And Moses didn't say, God, what took you so long? His response is merely one of surrender. Here I am. Here I am. You may be on a detour. You made some wrong choices. Unbridled rage, uncontrolled passion, lack of wisdom leading to folly. Whatever it may be, you may be like Moses. You ended up in a place where you have concluded it's over, nothing good can come out of this. And I want to remind you today, we serve a God who can redeem our detours. Nothing is wasted. God can take your ashes and turn them into beauty. God can take your failures and turn them into trophies of his grace. God specializes in redeeming all things that are lost and hopeless. That is the power of our God. He can redeem your detours and transform your life. God redeemed Moses' detour and brought transformation. Here's the second point. Transformation happens when we respond in trustful obedience. When we respond in trustful obedience. Notice what God says to Moses here in Exodus 3, 7 to 10. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. As clear as it can get. Moses, now you are ready for my assignment. But here's the problem. At the age of 40, Moses would have said yes even before God would have finished that sentence. With confidence and charisma, Moses would have been off to the races. But now at age 80, he's a broken man. Broken people often resist the call of God. Moses felt so inadequate for the task. And he thought he was not the right guy. He expresses serious doubts. God, could you pick somebody else? Look at verse 11 of Exodus 3. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? It's an identity issue. And Moses gives all the excuses that he can come up with. And he says, sorry, God, you have the wrong person in mind. I am not qualified for this incredible task. But God's word was clear. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. This is not about you, Moses. This is about me and my mission. You may feel inadequate, But as you trust me, you will see me at work. And what we have seen over this past year as we worked our way through Exodus is exactly that. God at work. Through the plagues that humble all of Egypt and their gods. Through the Passover that protected the Israelites while the Egyptians lost their firstborn. The parting of the Red Sea and the drowning of the Egyptian army. Through the miraculous provisions in the wilderness, God showed up again and again. And that happens when we say yes to God in trustful obedience. We will see God at work in our lives and we are changed in the process. A front row seat to God's activity is a game changer. You will never be the same after witnessing that. That was true of Moses, and that is true of us. So we respond in trustful obedience. Now here's the third point. Transformation happens through an intimate walk with God. Through an intimate walk with God. Transformation is a lifelong process. God uses our detours. He uses our obedience. And lastly, he uses our daily walk with him to change us. You know, we live today in a do-it-yourself culture. We can make a lot of things happen on our own. But spiritual transformation is not something that we can orchestrate. It is a work of God, and our job is simply to cooperate with God in this process. And you'll see this in Moses' life. He repeatedly turned to God every time he faced a roadblock or a challenge. It became a habit. It was the most natural thing to do. When faced with discouragement and resistance from his own people, Moses turned to God. And overwhelmed by the challenges of standing before Pharaoh and feel the daunting task of telling him to leave the people, Moses turned to God. When stumped by the shortage of supply in the wilderness, Moses turned to God. You know, so intimate was Moses' walk with God that Exodus 33 verse 11 says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Now talk about intimacy with God. Wow. God would speak to Moses face to face like he is speaking to a friend. Now, someone asked me, you told last weekend that no one can see the face of God, and Moses only saw the back of God. So how come this text here says God spoke to Moses face to face? Now, I think it's just using a figure of speech to tell how close they were. It's talking about a heart-to-heart conversation, something that you have with your friend in a relaxed manner. This close conversational relationship is the reason why Moses' face glowed. And Moses did not just have a single encounter with God, but this became a repetitive pattern of his life. The text that we read at the beginning from Exodus 34, it says here in 34 and 35, but whenever he, Moses, entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. You see that? Moses went back again and again to meet with God. It's those repeated encounters with God that resulted in a radiant face, a beautiful countenance that people around him could take notice of. And we all have come across Christians who exude that love and joy and a radiance. And that is because of their intimate walk with Jesus. It's an overflow of the deep work that God has done inside their heart. And this close conversational relationship with God is not reserved for a select few. It's not just for the super spiritual. This is God's desire for all of his children, every single one of us. You see, that is the blessing of the new covenant that we are in. For what we see here in Exodus is a mere shadow and a pointer to the realities of all that will be unfolding in the new covenant. The Apostle Paul brings this great connection in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, when he writes, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So just as Moses took off the veil as he entered into the presence of God, that there was no barrier between Moses and God, in the same way we today can come before God's presence. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ, every barrier has been removed. The veil has been torn down once and for all, and we have access to God's throne of grace. That is the blessing of the new covenant that we are in, sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Under the old covenant, only Moses reflected the glory of God. But under the new covenant, all followers of Jesus radiate his glory. Under the old covenant, God only spoke to Moses. But under the new covenant, he speaks to every one of his children. And like Moses, as we have an audience with God and we behold God's glory, we are changed. We are transformed from glory to glory. We radiate the light of Jesus in the dark places wherever we go. Our encounter with Jesus transforms us inside out. So as we start this fall season, I want to encourage you to cultivate rhythms in your life whereby you can have this conversational relationship with God. Don't put it on the back burner. You need to create margins in your schedule intentionally. It does not happen accidentally. It takes effort on your part, and you sometimes have to fight for it. The discipline of spending time with God on a daily basis, reading his word, is a non-negotiable. The discipline of being in community with other believers is yet another way we experience God's glory. Now, ultimately, God wants to transform you and use your life to make a difference in his kingdom. We're going to close our service today by singing together a consecration hymn called "Take My Life and Let It Be." May that be our prayer, that you will not withhold anything in light of all that God has done for you. You will surrender your life, that we will be able to say from our hearts, "Lord, transform me. Show me your glory. Change my heart and use me as you used Moses for your purposes for our generation. I'm going to ask all of us to stand right now. I'll invite the worship team to come forward. Before we prepare our hearts to sing, let's close our eyes for a moment. And just reflect on what you've heard today. Have you truly given all areas of your life to Jesus? And can you say from your heart, Lord, not my will, but your will be done in every area of my life? That's what it means when we say, take my life and let it be. We are consecrated, set apart for God's purposes. That God can do whatever he wants in and through your life. You're giving him that complete permission. So let's have that meaningful conversation with God in the quietness of this moment and surrender our lives once again. Say, here I am, Lord. Use me for your glory and honor.